ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय Actually, today, because it is a special day. Special day means very often this is our great fortune in our Vaishnav, as part of our Vaishnav family, Vaishnav tradition. We have many festivals, many celebrations. And on the occasion, today actually we have a double, two big celebrations, means the appearance of Lord Ramanadev, as very nicely depicted by the nice dioramas, which are in front of the altar. So Lord Ramanadev, this past time, I wanted to read one small section so that we can remember more and try to appreciate and learn something from the pastimes of Lord Ramanadev. And secondly, of course, we had a very good introduction and the possibility of remembering all of the Goswamis, in particular Srila Jiva Goswami, by the wonderful prayers that we just heard a few minutes ago. We are fortunate in this way to have many such festivals throughout the year, mainly, primarily, to help us remember our position, especially to recall the exalted position of such great personalities as the six Goswamis of Vrindavan and all of the various pastimes which the Lord enacts through his different incarnations. I put a few things on, actually one particular verse, which is, we'll begin with the pastime of Lord Ramanadev. Replace this, you can just take this book. Yeah. This is from the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is chapter 22. Bali Maharaj surrendering his life. Oops, we need to repeat possibly the earlier announcement regarding cell phones. It's actually better to just turn them off. Or so the pastime of Lord Ramanadev, of course, bring to memories many important instructions in regards to the very extraordinary, wonderful pastimes that the Lord exhibits at different times, as nicely chanted by Lord Brahma, Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadyam, Anantarupam, Adyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha. Anantarupam, the Lord has unlimited forms, takes on unlimited forms in order to perform unlimited pastimes. One of the main reasons and objectives is to actually bring out various sentiments and emotions from his devotees. There are different reasons why the Lord appears, as we all know from the Bhagavad Gita. One of them, the foremost, Srila Prabhupada explains, is to actually give pleasure to his devotees. So this particular pastime of Lord Vamanadeva is especially to highlight, amongst other things, to highlight the position of his very dear servant devotee, Bali Maharaj. The crux of Krishna consciousness is how to surrender more and more, isn't it? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has many writings, many poems, many instructions regarding the process of surrender. All of us, we have come in this material world and have surrendered to Maya. Now we must learn to surrender to Krishna. So this surrendering process is what Krishna consciousness is all about. We'll just read one verse and a purport given by Srila Prabhupada, which helps us to get some insight into the mind or mentality of such a great personality as Bali Maharaj. Our aim as devotees is to endeavor to understand and to appreciate the thoughts and inner sentiments of exalted personalities. And of course, the most exalted of all personalities is the Supreme Lord himself. But his devotees, we cannot immediately enter the minds, let's say enter the mind of Krishna, understand Krishna. He's such an exalted personality. But by beginning to understand the exalted position of his surrendered devotees, then we can begin to understand something about Krishna's position. In the first text of this chapter, Bali Maharaj surrenders his life. I'll just read the first verse, which doesn't have any purport, and then go to the second verse. The first verse translates as follows. Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead was superficially seen to have acted mischievously toward Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj was fixed in his determination. Considering himself not to have fulfilled his promise, he spoke as follows. So, just to put things a little bit in context, as we know, Bali Maharaj was performing some sacrifice, and at that time the Lord appeared in his dwarf form of Vamanadev. And because the Lord, in any form that he takes, is able to very easily enchant other living entities, all living entities, Bali Maharaj was very much attracted by this young boy. Very attractive features. And who was wearing a Brahmana thread, so therefore, as a dutiful king, he offered his respects and told Vamanadev, whatever you desire, I'm the king. I'm the king of heaven now. I've thrown out Indra. Whatever you desire, I will award to you. And then this verse is referring to the fact that already Vamanadev had taken with his two steps the whole universe, and therefore seemingly he could not fulfill the promise of taking three steps because there was nothing left. So then we go to the second verse. Again, just a translation. This is Bali Maharaj speaking. Bali Maharaj said, O best personality of Godhead, most worshipable for all the demigods, if you think that my promise has become false, I shall certainly rectify matters to make it truthful. I cannot allow my promise to be false. Please, therefore, place your third lotus footstep on my head. And then Srila Prabhupada gives the following purport. Bali Maharaj could understand the pretense of Lord Vamanadev, who had taken the side of the demigods and come before him as a beggar. Although the Lord's purpose was to cheat him, Bali Maharaj took pleasure in understanding how the Lord will cheat his devotee to glorify the devotee's position. It is said that God is good, and this is a fact, whether he cheats or rewards. He is always good. Bali Maharaj therefore addressed him as Uttama Shloka. Your Lordship, he said, you are always praised with the best of selected verses on behalf of the demigods. You disguised yourself to cheat me, saying that you wanted only 3 paces of land. But later, you expanded your body to such an extent that with 2 steps, you covered the entire universe. Because you were working on behalf of your devotees, you do not regard this as cheating. Never mind. I cannot be considered a devotee. Nonetheless, because although You are the husband of the goddess of fortune. You have come to me to beg. I must satisfy you to the best of my ability. So please do not think that I wanted to cheat you. It's like the reverse is taking place. Please do not think that I wanted to cheat you. I must fulfill my promise. I still have my body. When I place my body for your satisfaction, please put your third step on my head. Since the Lord had covered the entire universe with two steps, one might ask how Bali Maharaj's head could be sufficient for his third step. Bali Maharaj, however, thought that the possessor of wealth must be greater than the possession. Therefore, although the Lord had taken all his possessions, the head of Bali Maharaj, the possessor, would provide adequate place for the Lord's third step. So Bali Maharaj had made a promise to a Brahmana. Satyam. He had spoken, and what one speaks, this is in the Vedic culture. Nowadays we have forgotten because we're in Kali Yuga, but whatever one speaks must come true. We can recall what Queen Kunti had spoken when Arjuna had come back, the whole when Arjuna had come back bringing Draupadi and mentioned that I have something very wonderful, and Queen Kunti was busy doing something. She just replied, just share it with your brothers. And that's how Draupadi ended marrying the five Pandavas, because the words spoken, very important principle in Vedic culture, and one of the four pillars of Dharma. It's actually the first one, which is mentioned by Srila Narada Muni in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, when Narada Muni gives a list of the 30 qualities to be acquired in a human form of life in his discussions with Yudhisthira Maharaj, who wanted to know about Dharma, who wanted to hear specifically about Varnashrama Dharma. Narada Muni begins in the first of five chapters to go into detail about Dharma. And then Satyam, Satyam Daya Tapa Shocham, begins this particular verse. Srila Prabhupada explains that in Kali Yuga, out of these four qualities, only Satyam remains. Daya, there's no more compassion. Tapa, also not existing, and socham, no cleanliness, no purity, satyam, but also that is diminishing. So Bali Maharaj, we can see by this pastime actually, Although appearing in Asuric family was the grandson of grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. So ultimately, we as devotees, again, as nicely elaborated upon by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, must come to that position of totally and fully surrendering to the Lord. Atma Nivedanam. That beginning, the beginning process to come to that ultimate stage of fully surrendering is by regularly hearing about the Lord, Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. So Bali Maharaj was such an exalted personality, had the great fortune of receiving the direct darshan and direct blessings of the Supreme Lord. And he was very very strong in his respects, in his respect of the principles of Dharma. So, in addition to glorifying, we think about Lord Vamanadeva. We think about the Lord's devotee, Bali Maharaj, and we see through these pastimes some of the exalted qualities. Devotee means someone who exhibits at different times, in different circumstances, very special qualities. Devotees actually become attractive because of exhibiting more and more these natural qualities, which are there actually in every living entity. They're simply covered. Every single living entity being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord possesses all of the qualities, but in minute quantity, all the qualities of the Lord. Krishna means all attractive. His devotees, as they exhibit these different qualities, they also become attractive. That is why when devotees interact with conditioned souls know that this person is not like me. These devotees are different. And if one is fortunate, like all of us actually, all of us, at some particular point, have come in contact with some devotees. If I look back in my initial contact with devotees, I clearly recall how this was something very unique, that devotees were nicely dressed. They were very fresh. Their look was very alert, very alert. And when they spoke, it made sense. They had a lot of knowledge. Practically speaking, my personal experience, my first encounter with devotees, they're different. They're different people. Not like, they're not ordinary people. Just like Krishna is not ordinary, his devotees are also not ordinary. Although this was still in the beginning of our movement, devotees were still quite young. Young in terms of age, young in terms of how long they were in the movement. But still, even from a very young stage, and one who actually takes up to Krishna consciousness does not immediately realize this, but Krishna arranges that at some particular point, Krishna puts a devotee in a particular situation where he has to speak to a non-devotee, for example, where he has to explain what is Krishna consciousness, and one becomes a little bit surprised. My God, I didn't realize that I understood that much. Of course, it is unlimited. What can we understand about Krishna? But still, that is Krishna's mercy and Guru's mercy as well, and the process itself of Krishna consciousness. When we take it up, when we come in contact by some great fortune with devotees of the Lord, and we begin to practice the process, then very quickly, actually very quickly, some changes take place. If we are actually sincere in wanting to know about Krishna, wanting to serve Krishna, then Krishna begins to reciprocate. And as he explains in the Bhagavad Gita, according to one's surrender, then Krishna reciprocates more and more. So that is the nature of Krishna consciousness, meant to bring out both these qualities which Krishna eternally displays, and also this knowledge which also Krishna reveals at different times in the history when he incarnates, when he appears. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha Anadi Radir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Causeless mercy, causeless knowledge. That is the great gift that is there. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Chaya Ahaitukam. Ahaituki. devotional service is such a great gift. It is incomparable. There is no treasure that can compare to the treasure of bhakti or devotional service. That simply by taking up to the process as instructed by the Lord, as shown and exhibited by the Lord's devotees, then this two things which actually prevent us from going back to the spiritual world, two things which keep us bound up in the material world. One is ignorance and one is attachment. Attachment to this body, attachments for sense gratification. And it is only the process of bhakti or devotional service which actually is able to change that completely. By giving us awakening within our hearts, this knowledge which is actually already there. When we stop and think about it, it's something rather amazing. All knowledge is actually contained within the heart of every single living entity. And the right time and the right place and the right association is all that is needed for that to actually become awakened. The example of Bali Maharaj is one out of thousands. The wonderful prayers that we have heard, the glorification of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, also give us some insight. The Goswamis of Vrindavan were popular with both the ruffians and the devotees. They were popular with everyone because they were displaying especially the qualities of meekness and humility. They were able to melt the hearts of everyone. Such attractive features, attractive qualities. And as devotees, actually our business is to appreciate such qualities in other devotees, in our dealings with other devotees, on the one hand, and on the other hand, to give an opportunity for those who may not yet have taken up to the process of devotional service so that they can also get an opportunity to unveil these qualities which are within their hearts. Something we can speak also about Srila Jiva Goswami. Such an exalted, all the Goswamis of Vrindavan, of course, all such exalted personalities, we cannot fathom. Srila Jiva Goswami especially after the disappearance of Rupa and Sanatan became the foremost, was already a great scholar, but became the foremost scholar of his times. It is said that he put in writing close to 500,000 verses. 500,000 verses, all in connection with devotional service, wrote some very important books which are studied. He was a great pundit, knew Sanskrit very elaborately. He was one time told to leave Vrindavan. He was told to leave Vrindavan by one of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Because he had taken upon himself to actually defeat some particular pandit who had challenged Rupin Sanatan Goswami. And because Rupa Goswami had noticed a little pride in his having defeated, he performed that activity to actually protect, with good intention, to actually protect the honor of Rupin Sanatan Goswami and to protect the Siddhanta that is there. But somehow Srila Rupa Goswami, who was very strict, had noticed a little tinge of pride in having defeated. He had chastised him and told him he was unqualified to live in Vrindavan. Actually, this is a very great lesson, because Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it, to Arjuna, idam tute guya tamam pravakshami anasuyave. The beginning of that verse is explaining how, my dear Arjuna, I shall explain to you this highest, most confidential knowledge, because you're not a proud person. Because you're not proud. So pride is what is preventing all of us from actually becoming devotees or from advancing nicely in devotional service. This very deeply rooted ahankar within the heart. Later on, so of course, Jiva Goswami left Vrindavan when Sanatan Goswami came to know what had taken place. Then he spoke to Rupa Goswami and he chastised Rupa Goswami that why you have told Jiva to leave Vrindavan. And then he actually told Rupa Goswami, you have neglected to follow one of the important instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he requested him. Rupa Goswami said, which? What instruction? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is my life and soul. Which instruction? I have not followed. And then Sanatan Goswami requested him to recite the Shikshastaka prayers. And then when he came to that explanation of daya, of the need to be merciful to all living entities, he stopped him and mentioned, even though some slight mistake may sometimes be there, the most important quality of a Vaishnava is the quality of daya, compassion, mercy. Tatikshava karunika suridam sarvadehinam. Vaishnavas, they are tatikshava, very, very tolerant. One has to be tolerant amidst so many irregularities and irreligious activities that surround us. And then karunika, karunya, or daya, compassion. Again, that is one of the four pillars. Satyam, daya, tapasucham. The second mentioned by Narada Muni. So, devotees, if devotees are not compassionate, how people will become delivered, isn't it? This is the great mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers. This was the mood and the mentality of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that in Kali Yuga everyone is greatly unfortunate because totally grossly covered by the modes of material nature. There is no hope. There is no hope other than giving them the holy name of Krishna. So this compassion is the foremost of the qualities of Vaishnavas, and it has been exhibited by all of our previous acharyas, and especially by our founder acharya Srila Prabhupada. In one of the prayers of the Goswamis, it is nicely explaining that the Goswamis of Vrindavan, they are known all over the world, and they are meant to be honored for two reasons. One, because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis. Their mind is always remembering the pastimes of the Lord. They are developing this mood of service that the gopis of Vrindavan demonstrated. So they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis, number one. And secondly, they are engaged in the service of the Lord. Their service was to study the Vedic literatures. Their service, as given to them by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because of their high qualification, being great pundits, and of course being fully surrendered, their service was to extract from the Vedic literatures all things related to bhakti, all references, all knowledge, all information related to bhakti. And they have done so in a very exemplary manner by writing all of these literatures. The treasure house of the Goswamis of Vrindavan is yet to be known, is yet to be understood, even by our own devotees, actually. What to speak of the seventh of the Goswamis? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is described as the seventh Goswami, who also wrote extensively. And of whom it was said that when the English-speaking world will come to know, will come to read and understand the writing of such personalities, then the whole world will actually become flooded in Krishna prema. That is actually the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Nam Negora Tvise Namaha. We are part, somehow or other, we are, although unqualified in so many ways, we have this very, very great fortune of being connected with such exalted personalities. It's like in the ordinary world, you know, if your uncle happens to be like a big shot, you know, you feel proud. yeah, he's my uncle, you know. We have so many great personalities who are, with whom we are directly connected. And the knowledge they have revealed, the knowledge they have written in various literatures, very, very powerful. As it is said, we speak of astra, weapon. Kshatriyas have their different astras, usually the sword or whatever. But the brahmanas, the devotees, their astra is actually the shastra. The knowledge in our Vedic literatures so wonderfully. So there's a great need for, of course, all of our devotees, but especially those who are possibly more inclined to make these literatures available. Of course, Srila Prabhupada's books in themselves are very complete. But even Srila Prabhupada has mentioned that we should also be taking advantage of these literatures, books written by the Goswamis. We also, as the followers and the representatives of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, have a big task to perform. If we study in the history at different times, you know, different challenges were different, but challenges were there. Challenges were always there. Just like during the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all the apasampradayas, they were very prominent, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to defeat these apasampradayas. And then, of course, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had to debate regarding the position of Brahmanas, position of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, to properly establish what exalted position, what is the exalted position of Vaishnavas, those who actually... Brahmana is already a very exalted position. Brahmanas are considered the head of society. They are considered the most honorable personalities, actually, in the Vedic system. We are meant to worship. Krishna himself worships the Brahmanas. First, he worships the cows, though. He worships the cows and the Brahmanas. But higher than Brahmanas, because most Brahmanas in the history, most Brahmanas are actually not Vaishnavas. They are Mayavadi Brahmanas. They don't know about Krishna. They don't know about bhakti, the process of devotional service. So Vaishnava is very much more exalted position. So we are inheriting what the Goswamis of Vrindavan have given, which is the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Already so many books have been written. And Srila Prabhupada wanted that because that is part of what Vaishnavas should do, that more books be written as well. Our movement is known as the Bhakti movement, isn't it? In scholarly circles, people who study or teach about, let's say, history, Vaishnava history, they refer to our movement as the Bhakti cult or the Bhakti movement, Lord Chaitanya as Bhakti. And, of course, that is true. That is a fact. The essence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are the Bhakti element. At the same time, there are other aspects which we should not neglect. During the time of Lord Chaitanya, it was very, very important that many books be written specifically on the science of bhakti. And that the Goswamis, they have done in a very glorious manner. And it is up to us to take advantage, of course, of these literatures. there are many things to be said. We should take advantage of today's appearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami to pray to him and to pray to the other Goswamis as well, so that we can get a little glimpse of what they, you know, their level of realization. And by getting the mercy, we can possibly, as they have so wonderfully done, assist Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his mission to spread Krishna consciousness very widely. So that is the basis or the most fundamental aspect of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings and movement, and the element of bhakti. Srila Prabhupada has carried this message very, very wonderfully, very nicely all over the world. And he is, Srila Prabhupada has a special link actually with Srila Jiva Goswami, because Srila Prabhupada was, as a matter of fact, Srila Prabhupada mentions in one of his writings that Srila Jiva Goswami is my heart and soul. Because the Damodar Temple, Radha Damodar Temple, where Srila Prabhupada took shelter, was established by Jiva Goswami. And the Samadhi of Jiva Goswami is there, along with the Samadhi of other Goswamis. And Srila Prabhupada was greatly inspired, taking inspiration from Srila Jiva Goswami, recognizing his very exalted position. So we should pray to, especially today, to Srila Jiva Goswami to give us even a speck of his devotion to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and so that we can understand. He has written very extensively. His most, one of the foremost of his writings are known as the Six Sandarbhas, which go very much in detail explaining the exalted position of Krishna consciousness, of bhakti, of devotional service. So I don't know. Till what time this class is meant to go. But 10 o'clock seems to be like probably the right time. Jai Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada ki. Jai. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Gaura Premanandi.
Jai.